Okay, let me see here. I need, there's the material list. I need 50 board feet of walnut, plain sawn four quarter, 20 board feet of poplar, four quarter, plain sawn FAS, straight line one edge, 1 gallon of PVA glue, Elmer's, 6 KV, 20 inch drawer slides, one box of 5 inch, 8 hole, 120 grit sandpaper, and let's see, paper plates, yellow dye stain, and cutting board finish. Okay, off to the grocery store. Hi, my name is Roger Kugler. This is Working at Woodworking Podcast, episode number 58. I get all my woodworking supplies at the grocery store. I'm here to help you get started in your own woodworking business. Whether full-time or part-time, there's a lot of very, very talented hobby woodworkers out there, and I want to encourage you to take the next step. Reach out into your community, offer your services, make some money, and increase your woodworking skills. Okay, it's true, I don't get all of my woodworking supplies at the grocery store, but, you know, a useful amount. So what could I possibly be getting there? Well, I just made up a random list of things that I've bought over the years that I use sometimes daily, of things that you're better off going to the grocery store than you are to a woodworking supply house, one of the retail outlets. You'll generally find it cheaper. The first thing on the list is walnut oil. Why in the world would I buy walnut oil in the first place? Well, it makes a wonderful finish for trendware. Trendware? Yeah, that is basically any wooden item that's used in the kitchen or used for eating. We've been eating off of wood for, like, oh, I don't know, millennium. Silverware, whether silver or metal, pewter, that's kind of a relatively new thing. But wooden forks, wooden spoons, wooden bowls, wooden plates, they've been around a while. And we are still using that. Cutting boards, charcuterie boards. I mean, they're all the rage right now. And I like to put a finish on those, but I don't use the normal type of finishes. I don't like an on finish, something that's going to form a film, like varnish or shellac or something. I like an in finish, an oil, something that's going to penetrate into the wood. You don't have to worry about that flaking off. It's very easy to renew, and it just gives the wood a special come touch me quality. I like walnut oil because it's one of the few true drying oils. Other types of drying oils would be like boiled linseed oil or even linseed oil. That takes like months to dry. Boiled linseed oil will take, a day or a week to dry. But there's metal additives in that, I don't want in contact with my food. Walnut oil is used as a salad dressing. You buy it at the grocery store, and it will actually dry. Sure, you could use something like corn oil or olive oil, but they aren't going to dry, and in some climates, they can go rancid, like nasty rancid. Well, what about mineral oil? Well, you know, that's coming from an oil barrel. Yeah, I know it's been used for probably 100 years, but and it just always seems to, like, disappear so quickly. So I've really taken to using walnut oil. One small caveat is, there are people out there who are allergic to nuts, like the plant nuts. And walnut oil may not be the best thing right there. Now, Mike Mahoney of California has been a long-time woodturner, woodworker. He started in the early 90s, I believe. I have some of his DVDs and, maybe even a VHS of some of his work. Fantastic teacher, incredible craftsman. He developed a line of walnut oil finishes that have that one little chemical in there that causes the allergic reaction. They can take that out and make an allergy-free walnut oil Wood Bull Finish. I'll leave a link in the show note to his website. You definitely need to check that out, especially if you have an interest in wood turning. Fantastic guy. I used to make some trinware, some cooking forks, and I would cover those with two or three coats of walnut oil, and it soaks into the wood and just gives a real nice feel to it. And whenever I would ship that to somebody, to a customer, I would wrap it in, number two on the list, parchment paper. Any baker knows what parchment paper is. It's a paper you can literally put in the oven at 450 degrees and it doesn't burst into flame. It gets a little toasty around the edges, but it protects the cookie sheet or whatever you're baking on, and it's very easy cleanup, very easy separation, no sticking. And since parchment paper is made to be in contact with food, this is just a natural choice to wrap your trinware in. This is something that's going to be touching food, so let's not wrap it in a, you know, kind of an icky bubble wrap plastic thingy. Yeah. While you're picking up your parchment paper, pick up a roll of waxed paper. And the next time you need to do a glue up that you know is, well, it's going to be messy, put down some wax paper, particularly on your clamps. If you have some place you do not want glue to get to, use wax paper as a barrier. Glues, epoxies will not stick to wax paper. It's wonderful stuff. So let's say you're making something, a piece of trinware, maybe a spoon or something, but you just don't want the normal color. You want to add something to it. Sure, you could use a pigment gel stain, you could use a waterborne stain, but keeping in this food-safe genre, let's see if there's something natural, maybe even a foodstuff, that we could use to impart some color. Try turmeric. It's a spice. It's a very good spice, and it's yellow. And if you mix up a bowl of turmeric, you can control the intensity of the yellow that you get and apply it to your wood. I went through a wood jewelry making phase, and I was making like bangles, bracelets type things, and I read about this, thought it would be cool, mixed up some turmeric and applied it to, I think I was using like white oak or maple, and it turned out really nice. It's a very smooth, even dye color, very, very pleasing. Salt. While you're in the spice aisle, pick up some salt and maybe a salt shaker. What in the world are you talking about? Ah, this is a little trick that I learned from a luthier. He was gluing up, I think, a block to make a neck or something like this. I forget exactly what it was, but he grabbed a salt shaker and just gave it a couple little shakes into the glue of the one block he had already set in his clamp. And then he brought the other block down and put on, started to apply pressure, and those two blocks did not move. Like, what? This was so cool. You've glued up two boards, and as soon as you start applying those clamps, especially if you're doing a glue up for like a turning, where you might have 4, 5, 6 layers, as soon as you start applying that pressure, these things start squirreling all over the place. Well, just a couple dashes of salt into the glue layer on each board will keep them from moving. The salt crystals are so small, they kind of get embedded into the wood fibers. And since you're using probably a waterborne PVA glue, they're going to like dissolve in the moisture. They'll go away. It's not like you're going to get a gap from, you know, a grain of salt, but there's just enough friction there to keep the pieces from sliding back and forth. It works wonderfully. One caveat, you might not want to use the family salt shaker for this. Now, we're getting older. The doctor said you might want to cut back on your salt intake, so it wasn't a big thing, but we had some guests over and they asked for some salt. And my wife looked where it's normally kept in the kitchen, and it wasn't there. I sheepishly got up and ran out to the shop and came back with a salt shaker. Yeah, that took some explaining. Anyway, pick up some salt, pick up your own salt shaker. Paper products. This is a real win right here. You are doing a furniture repair and you need to match this scratch or this new piece of wood in with the surrounding wood. Now, I like to use a pigment, a dry pigment, the powder pigment, and a little bit of shellac. And you've got to mix this up on something. So I grab a paper plate, the Super El Cheapo, like 500 for a buck paper plates. They're big, like 8 inches in diameter, so you have lots of room to maneuver. You put down a little bit of shellac, then you dip your brush into the color pigment that you need, and you start mixing it together. You can control the intensity of the color. If you need to dilute it a little bit, you add more shellac, and then you can use your brush and apply it just exactly where it needs to go. You have a super cheap palette. The nice thing about these is they're always there. You're not scrambling around looking for something, you know, here's a package off of a box I might be able to use. No, they're always right there. You can easily grab them. They work wonderfully. If you have a crack or something you need to fill, grab the Bondo. Hey. Wood filler, okay? It's the same frickin' stuff, except it's been colorized. Grab your favorite product of wood filler, fiberglass resin type material. And you need to mix that up. You need to catalyze it with a hardener. Paper plates are wonderful. Just measure out the amount that you need, add your catalyst, mix that together. Boom, you're done. Whenever that hardens up as hard as a rock, you can just dispose of it that way. Yeah. You get the little plastic cup that you can use with the can. Yeah, the hardener dries in that and you can never get all of it out. And if you leave just a bit in there and it breaks off while you're mixing up a new batch, now you got this hard chunk running around in there and it goes exactly where you don't want to get. No, just use a paper plate. It works wonderfully. If you're mixing up a little batch of epoxy, get the paper bowls, the big wide bowls. You don't want to mix epoxy in a cup. You want as large a surface area as you can get while still containing the epoxy. And I use these paper, they're like cereal bowls, about 6 inches in diameter. You can mix that up, you can add colorant, you can do with it whatever you want to, and it doesn't cook off almost immediately like it will if you use a smaller cup. Epoxy causes a exothermic reaction, and the faster it starts to heat itself up, the faster it's going to set. You want to spread that out in as large a surface area as thin as possible to mitigate the effect of that exothermic reaction. But while you're at the store, you might as well pick up some of those little, like, Dixie cup type things, you know, the real, real small ones. And if you need to mix up some type of a stain that you don't want to get all over the place using a paper plate, maybe you need to mix two types of waterborne stains together just to see what the color is going to be like. These little cups are just wonderful for that. They cost, well, less than pennies, and they're just always there. They're very, very handy. Speaking of handy, Ziploc bags. I would recommend some gallon, some quart, and some sandwich size. These are just handy for storing things temporarily. If I'm doing, let's say, varnish that I'm applying by brush, or typically foam brush, I can stick that brush in a baggie, kind of squeeze all the air out of it, and seal it. That will last for a day. Let that first coat dry, come back, unziploc the baggie, take out my brush, it's still moist, and I can go another round. If you're really lazy and you're using varnish or something like that, or paint, you can do the same thing. The secret is getting all the air out of the bag as you possibly can. If you're taking a piece of furniture apart, or in my case, a boat apart, put the screws and some of the small little tiny hardware pieces in Ziploc bags, and then you can label it. where it came from. Keeps things organized, keeps things neat. You keep from losing things. Vinegar. What would you use vinegar for in a woodworking shop? You ask. Ah, easy. Stain. Get a glass jar with a lid. Punch some holes into the lid. Pour some vinegar into the glass jar. Get some steel wool. 4-aught will work just fine. You could use 2-aught if that's the only thing you had. Put that into the jar. Take it outside. Sit it someplace where animals aren't going to get to it, nor would it be rained upon. And let it sit for about 3 days. You come back and you look at it and it's like, that didn't do anything. But take that liquid, strain it, and apply it to a piece of white oak or red oak or even cherry, and watch what happens. You get a beautiful grayish, almost black reaction. The vinegar or acetic acid has reacted with the steel wool or iron, and you've mixed yourself up a nice little batch of iron acetate plus hydrogen. That's why you poke the holes in the lid. As this stuff sits there and starts to cook, hydrogen gas is released. You don't want that in a sealed container. You don't want this in a plastic container because of the reaction, although it probably would work. You don't want to create something that will go boom. So make sure you poke those holes in there. Now, if you have a really good grocery store and they have some tannic acid for sale, it's a powder. Winemakers use this. You can also buy it on Amazon. If you mix up the tannic acid and apply it to your piece of wood, really any piece of wood, like poplar that has no tannic acid, no tannins in it, and then apply the iron acetate solution to it, boom! You get a really, really deep black. Probably only some grocery stores would sell that tannic acid. And while we're going down this chemistry rabbit hole, pick up some sodium bicarbonate while you're there. Baking soda. Yeah, take the baking soda, mix that with some CA or cyanoacrylate glue, and watch what happens. You make instant, like, white plastic. Honestly, I've never actually done it. I've never needed that, but I know luthiers use that to repair their nuts or something like that. Q-tips. You've drilled a hole, you need to get a dowel in there or something, and you squirt some glue in and you look around on the floor or in the scrap pile for a little piece of wood that you can use as a little like palette knife to spread stuff. Just grab the Q-tips. They work wonderfully. I used to make bullet pens, writing pens made from bullets. I used a lot of Q-tips because that was the easiest thing that I could use to spread the epoxy on the inside of the shell casings. I went through quite a few Q-tips. I got them at the local grocery store. Oh, you need to get some glue while you're at the grocery store? Easy. Search out, probably in the baking aisle, some Knox gelatin. Yeah, it's hide glue. Well, very highly refined hide glue, but it also acts as an adhesive. Not a real strong adhesive, depending on your application, but yeah, if you're in a pinch, you know, kind of go with what you have. Tongue depressors. You're sick and tired of trying to find something to mix something up with. Pick up a bag of tongue depressors. They don't cost very much, and you always have them handy. And if you have kids in the workshop, oh yeah, that'll keep them occupied for a while. And while you're at it, check out their selection of shelf liners. These are like little rubber mats that are really handy for keeping things from sliding off your workbench. Let's say that you need to route an edge on a piece of wood, and if you just put it on your workbench and you haven't treated your workbench to be anti-skid, i.e. using a toothing plane. Ooh, I just heard some of you cringe right there. You don't want this thing to go sliding off as you turn the router loose on it. Well, you get these shelf liners, put them down on your workbench. Now you have an anti-skid mat. Or you could go to the fancy woodworking supply store and spend about 4 times as much for the exact same thing. Just saying. Well, there's a few of my favorite things that I get at the grocery store to support my woodworking business. Hope you found some of these helpful. Oh, one more thing. Tools. Yeah, at the grocery store. A lot of you are probably familiar with Aldi, grocery store out of Germany. You'll find them in all the major cities and a lot of the minor cities. Low prices, limited selection, but sometimes they run special interest sales on things. I bought a little shop light. It's a LED. You can recharge it. It has different intensity levels. It is a wonderful little light to take on like a cabinet installation job. You can just put it any place. It was like $10, and that thing has gone for years. I've heard that you can also get chisels at an Aldi store. Now, I've never seen this myself, but I've talked to people who have bought them, and, you know, they're not like a Lee Nielsen chisel or anything like that, but especially if you're just getting started, or if you have a neighbor who wants to borrow your chisels, they're not bad. I recommend people who are just getting into woodworking is to buy really the cheapest chisel you can find. Why? Because you're going to need to sharpen them, like, all the time, because they're not going to hold an edge very well. But this is good, because you need to really develop your sharpening skills. And if you've got a $400 Lee Nielsen chisel that you have to sharpen, like, once a decade, well, you know, good luck developing your skill, but something like this, an inexpensive chisel that you're going to have to sharpen like every, you know, 15 minutes, half hour, hey, you're going to get pretty good at this. And also Walmart. I know, Walmart's grocery store. Well, welcome to the 21st century. Walmart is either the first or the second largest grocery store in the United States. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to throw them in there. They have tools. They have power tools. Not real name brand stuff in the stores, but if you go online, they're carrying Milwaukee, Ryobi, you know, DeWalt, because like Amazon, Walmart has opened up their website to be kind of a all-inclusive. If you've got a product to sell, you can sell it on the Walmart website. I can't say that they've made it easy, but it can be done. And if you go to their website, you can click the little button up there that says pickup, and that will show you what they have at your particular Walmart store. You actually don't have to go in. But if you're there picking up some Blue Bonnet ice cream, hey, might as well take a little stroll over by the tools just to see what they have. Ooh, one thing you can look for is a wax pot. Stay with me. A wax pot. People use this for heating up a wax that they apply to, I don't know, hairy parts of their body, and they rip it. Oh, God, I can't even talk about it. But these little pots are wonderful for keeping hide glue. There's a little metal pot that you can put, you know, different grain strength of your hide glue in, one for furniture, one for veneering. They keep the glue at 140 degrees, 145 degrees, and they cost like $50, $40. They're really inexpensive. I bought mine off of Amazon. It works really, really well. So do you have a favorite product that you buy at the grocery store for your woodworking business? If you do, drop me a line. Give me a phone call. Love to hear about it. Recommendations? Well, I'll put a link to Mike Mahoney's website down there. You can check him out. Otherwise, I mean, Aldi and Walmart's really the only thing that I've talked about other than your local store, whatever that might be. Missed jobs for the week? Murphy bed. I have longtime customers. I've done a lot of work for him. And he sent me an email, you know, can you make a Murphy bed for us? Yeah, no, not really, not right now. So there's another idea. There's a whole, like, genre, you know, of Murphy beds out there that you can buy the hardware for. Some of it is relatively inexpensive. Some of it can be incredibly expensive, but homeowners need someone who can actually put these things together, make the woodwork side, which usually a lot of times involves matching bookcases, you know, flanking the Murphy bed. That would be a wonderful little specialization, you know, for someone to get into. Special thanks to listeners in Six Mile Bridge, Clare County, Ireland, and also in Media, Pennsylvania. Greatly appreciate it. Check out the show notes for affiliate links. If you are in the market for an upgrade for your phone system, or you're just getting tired of taking phone calls during a night out on the town, you might want to check out Unitel Voice over Internet Protocol, VOIP. And of course, if you need some good chisels, there's also a link to Taylor Tools. Give them a shot. Very reasonable prices. And of course, if you'd like to support the show, I would more than appreciate either a direct donation on my website, or you can buy me a cup of coffee. Until next week, happy woodworking.